Whenever I hear the word hope, I reach for my whiskey bottle. These are the words of Paul Kingsnorth, a writer and environmental activist. Actually, a former environmental activist, actually. In 2007, climatologist James Hansen claimed that to save the Earth, the atmospheric CO2 concentration had to be below 350 parts per million. And since that time, it's gone past 350 and now hovers around 400 parts per million. Well, when Paul Kingsnorth, former environmentalist, saw that, he decided to stop the protesting, stop the demonstrating, put down the signs, put down the bullhorn, stop his environmental advocacy, and just accept our fate and grieve. Regarding hope, he says, it seems to me such a futile thing. I mean, what are we hoping for? What does it mean? Why are we reduced to something so desperate? And surely, we can only hope when we are powerless. The stages of grief are often characterized as denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And to Paul Kingsnorth, he seems to be equating hope with denial. That if hope manifests itself in a scenario in which you are powerless to act, that has to be simply denial. He would rather process his grief in acceptance rather than denial. But when I actually read his interviews, he actually sounds like he's more in depression than acceptance, but that's just me. The prophet Zechariah says, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope." As I mentioned in a sermon a few weeks ago, King Cyrus, Persian King Cyrus in 538 BC, allowed the conquered and exiled Jews to return to their homeland, to return to Jerusalem. And when the exiled Jews walked into Jerusalem, they found a flattened, ruined city, their temple destroyed. And they became overwhelmed, dejected, and depressed. Their grief was in depression. And rather than rebuild their city and rebuild their temple, they decided to just live amongst the rubble for decades. Then the prophet Zechariah urged them onward, urged them to take action and not to accept the hand that they've been dealt. Actually, Zechariah urged them not only to rebuild their city and their temple, but to also rebuild, more importantly, their relationship, their commitment, their covenant to God. Because these two had been lost in the rubble. These two had been lost amongst their depression, their grief. They slowly rebuilt their temple and their city. Hope is not denial. Cornel West says, the world is always a mess. It's always a mess. And Howard Zinn says that world history is in part always characterized by cruelty, in part. In the United States, today, we seem to be two countries. I've never felt this way before. Two countries, like possibly on the cusp of a civil war of some sort. I don't know how that would play out or what it would look like. But it seems like we're already at a civil war of sorts. Not North versus South, obviously, but maybe red versus blue. Maybe it's urban versus rural. I don't know. But we're definitely a house divided. racism and discrimination infects everything. Rampant income inequality divides the haves from the have-nots, and it's possibly the root of all of our society's ills. Yet even if we had no society's ills, possibly our goose is cooked from an environmental perspective with the relentless poisoning that we've done to our environment. I don't think we live in denial. We understand these things. Yet who knows? Maybe if we tackled corporate greed in some way and we made a commitment to help people with meaningful living wage jobs, here, maybe we could begin to reduce income inequality. And if people had meaningful living wage jobs where they could feed their families, feed, house, and clothe their families, they wouldn't be so likely to blame the other, whoever the other might be. Republicans, Democrats, immigrants, people of color, you name it. And if we're not blaming one another, maybe we could cooperate in some pretty big things like the environment. Hope is not denial. These issues are real. Cornel West said, hope is a virtue. It's an excellence that we aspire to. And Vaclav Havel calls it an orientation of the spirit. It's something that we must cultivate. To me, it's more than this. It's more than this, though. As Howard Zinn says, it gives us the energy to act, to at least have the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. That's hope. Yet hope is dangerous, though. It is dangerous. For having hope without a commitment to act, without a commitment to doing anything, without taking action, without exercising the power that you have been given, that's to be imprisoned by denial, ignorance, possibly even cowardice. Hope gives us the energy to act, to move beyond the depression of a sorrow that endureth forever, and aspire to a pleasure that may abideth for only a moment, or maybe not even at all. Because there's no promises, no guarantees here. So without any promises of success, without any guarantees of a future without suffering or cruelty, I ask that hope be an orientation of your spirit. And that hope be a commitment that you make to yourself, to your congregation, and to your community. Despite the cruelty, despite the suffering, despite this complete mess that we're in, rather than recede to denial, ignorance, and cowardice, it's time to behave magnificently.